On this week's episode of Bropostle, someone wants to email a hot firefighter to see if he fancies her. A fella wants to re-ask a girl out, and he wants us to tell him if that's a good idea or not. And help, my girlfriend has chlamydia. I'm just kidding. We didn't do that question. That was from Reddit. It was a joke. But we have more real questions on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Welcome to Bropostles. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Ethan, I've been thinking.
Okay.
We need an enemy.
No, we don't.
We do. We need like a cultural, not simply a person. Like we could pick a fight with Catching Foxes, but that's a little 2018.
I would dare I say 2015.
That's before we started our show, but okay. I think we need to in order to develop the kind of cult following that I want our listeners in our Discord, bropostles.com/discord, to be sending anti-bropostle tweets to each other to like brigade. You know, I want people defending us to the point of insanity, to the point of hilarity. I want people so bought into this that even when we say heinous things on the internet, they come to our aid. This is what we need. In order to do that, we need an enemy to rile up the people.
What you're saying is you would like to develop a cult following of mentally ill people.
Yes, I think that a cult following of mentally ill people would be the best way to skyrocket this podcast to the stratosphere.
It seems to be the best way to skyrocket really any effort these days.
You need... know? Seth Godin talked about tribes, but I'm going to write a book called Mobs. You got to build your mob.
Yeah. Okay. I have another idea. We could make it so that everyone who likes us, they pick like an amphibian to put in their profile photo. And it could be like a little cartoon amphibians, not a frog, because that would be like weird, but like you could do, I don't know what
turtles, salamanders.
Turtles are reptiles. Salamanders are reptiles.
Turtles are most certainly amphibians, and so are salamanders.
No, this is a key plot point in Over the Hedge: is that turtles are reptiles. Not
turtles are reptiles, but they're amphibious.
No,
I think tortoises are reptiles. Are turtles reptiles? Put in the comments below. Dang, turtles are reptiles. Okay, but surely a sea turtle is an amphibian. They're a reptile. What the heck? All right, well, smarter than a fifth grader.
So let me give you some examples, right? Poisonous dart frog, Goliath frog, African... Hold on. There's a lot of frogs.
How can frogs that live in trees be amphibians?
Oh, the axolotl could be our thing.
Axolotls are millennial coded. What is the difference between... I'm still on the amphibian thing.
Fire salamander.
Salamanders are amphibians. They are. There we go.
Eastern newt.
Okay. An amphibian has moist and permeable skin. Reptiles have dry and scaly skin and do not undergo metamorphosis. But see, here's the thing.
Moist and permeable sounds like my early 20s.
Moist and permeable, buddy. That's my wife.
Yeah. All right. I'm in an office space that I'm not normal. I think there's people still here. So I got to watch what I shout out.
This is publicly embarrassing yourself is actually the way that you get listeners to your podcast. Because people hear things like turtles or reptiles and they go, I like the way this guy thinks. I'm going to listen to his podcast and give him $10 a month on Patreon.
I'd love to have an enemy. I would love to even more to have millions of rabid fans. But you know what I love more than all of that put together, Patrick?
Answering questions from the people?
No.
No.
Well, yes, I do like answering questions from the people. But before we get to the questions that people write in, I want to talk about how great it is that this podcast is such a brightly lit way marker on the path to being on the Joe Rogan experience.
To being on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Very few people have taken this long but troubled path to go from Bro Apostles, formerly known as The Crunch, to being on Joe Rogan. I think more people should make this journey.
Yes. And then tell people about our podcast.
March of 2023 is when we had James McCann on our show, and he was in Australia still. He still lived in Australia, I believe.
Yeah.
And he had, I think, 4,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
As of today, he's got 125,000 followers on Instagram.
Jeez.
And he was on the Joe Rogan Experience today. I've listened to half of it. So far, all they've talked about is animals. It's all they've awesome. Talked about, which he's, is great.
I saw that screenshot and I giggled. I let out a noise that I'm not proud of. And I was so happy for our good friend from Down Under, James McCann. He deserves it more than anybody we know. If for some reason you haven't heard of James McCann recently, go look him up. He is so funny.
He's the funniest guy.
Joe Rogan said he's the funniest Australian comedian he's ever met. Apparently that's not a high bar, but that's a whole country, I think. And that's a pretty high compliment from a man who's met a ton of comedians. Yeah. So I'm really excited.
I just am so happy for James. And if anybody else wants to come on our show and take the same perilous path as James McCann, you're more than welcome. Yeah. But please just mention us along the way. That's all.
Man, that's like the record label that passed over the Beatles, you know?
Are we the record label or are we the Beatles?
Oh, no. We're neither. I'm not talking about us anymore. I'm talking about why James came to America and what didn't happen. And that was a shame. Imagine. Could you imagine?
It probably would not have worked out the way that it did.
I imagine that's correct. James is incredible. Everyone go look up James McCann. Do you want to answer questions from the people?
I would love to answer questions from the people.
James does advice on his podcast sometimes, and I like to think that he stole that idea from us.
I don't think giving advice is something that we started.
First ones to do it.
All right.
Always imitated, seldom replicated. Dating question.
Yeah.
From a firefighter emoji. There is a man I am interested in dating. I don't know what I should do. I've only had 3 conversations with this man, but I've known him since high school. We both attended retreat weekends at the formation center. Now we are 23, attending young adult weekends, and in the past few years, he's become a firefighter and gotten in shape. And he served. There you go. You got to invest early, ladies. That's the thing. You got to understand this. In the past few years, he got in shape. He served on the summer staff at the retreat center a few times. I was also on staff. I don't know him super well. I feel like we're both similarly formed.
Physically?
How so? How do you mean that? When I've interacted with him, it's super easy, same jokes, etc. The 3 times that she's interacted with him. He lives 2 hours away. The only way I can contact him is via email. I have his email because they're on the same email chain for work. Hey, I got your email off the company directory. Would you like to go out with me? I've never met someone who is a legitimate prospect and not just a little crush. I'm at a sort of a loss. Currently, a friend of mine wants to text a mutual friend to see if she thinks we'd be a good match. This is a fun thing that single people do. I think it's funny how they plan. Should I cold email this man or just pray that we cross paths again? Listen, ladies, if you don't have a HubSpot for dating prospects and a cold email template, you're not really trying, okay?
Yeah, you're working on your type 5 for the young adult cocktail hour over there.
you got to get on the apps, and by the apps, I mean Salesforce. That's what I mean. You got to be Zoho. I ran out of them. You just gotta click custom CRM through Go High Level. You gotta be doing that. All right. If you don't have that, you're not trying. What should she do?
What's the question? So she likes him, and the question is, should I email him? Is that really the question?
I guess.
Are the options either one? Let me just help me to understand, because I was so lost when you started talking about software as a service, and I got lost in your eyes.
B2B SaaS, and one of the B's stands for booty.
We'll set that aside for the bonus podcast. Okay. The first thing, so option one is she emails him. It's not really a cold email because you know him. The relationship is warm, right?
Yeah.
So you email him, or the other option is pray that you see him again sometime Am I to understand those are the two
apparently,
choices?
Apparently, yeah. I think the prospect of emailing someone is a bit daunting because it's super lame. Like, it sounds really lame. I would email people in sixth grade when email first came out. We were all so excited that to we have could an email
address. Yeah,
you know,
you're just looking for something in the inbox. You check it every day. There's nothing going on.
There's an email from Uncle Bobby that says to forward this email to 10 people or you'll have bad luck.
I would get emails from my grandma that was like, this is what the world was like 100 years ago. Can you believe how much has changed? And I'm
we
like,
should start chain emails again.
We should. Send this to 10 people tonight or the scariest woman you've ever seen will appear in your bathroom. Did you ever get those? It's like, if you don't forward it, you get a frightening vision. I never got a vision.
Because I always forwarded the emails. Go on.
I always sent it to the girls I like. I think you should just email this guy. I think you should say, hi. Been a while.
Yeah.
Be great to see you. There's really not a way to like casually email someone because it does feel very formal, but it's just To whom it may concern, I think you have a rockin' bod.
And regards.
I don't know. Just tell him that you like him. Why does it matter? Why does anything matter? I think you're cute, and I'd love to come and see you sometime, and maybe go on a date. I know this is weird because it's through an email, but I have no other way of contacting you. Let me know what you think. Regards, Rebecca.
There's a fire at 123 Elm Street, and it's in my heart. I need you to come put it out.
Yeah, do some kind of cheesy pickup line. Like, hey, have you calculated the flow rate of love? I got a hydrant. Hi, Drent.
Hook and ladder. I hardly know her.
Engine number 9. Come on down and damn, you're fine.
It's kissing time.
Okay, that's two. There's all kinds of things you could do in this email, the vibe you need to communicate is, I like you. I want to see you. Are you also interested in that? Regards. Please end it regards.
Regards, your name.
Regards, your name here in brackets. He's really funny.
You should email him with, hey, first name. I get those sometime. One thing that happens to you if you start a podcast and it becomes mildly successful, or a Twitter account and it becomes mildly successful, is people will cold outreach to you and try and sell you something. It's fine. I understand. It's how the world works. But sometimes someone will paste their template into the message without changing the little placeholder that says first name. Hey, first name, I really love your latest post about latest thing they posted about. Those are always fun. All right, yeah, email him.
You could do a chat GPT. You could be like, hey, going on a date with me is not just a possibility. It's inevitable. And make sure you do like a long M-dash.
Long M-dash, yeah. Yeah, email him. Put a little firefighter GIF in there. Spice it up.
You got this.
What's your workout routine? You know, that sort of.
Do you think you could carry me? Just treat it like Hinge. Like, just email him. No intro. Do you think you could carry me out of a burning building? No subject line.
No subject line. Okay. Email him. Next question.
Just email.
Dear Bro Apostles. Yeah. Apparently, I've written into your excellent comedy advice podcast one too many times because my girlfriend listened to today's episode and now demands to hear every episode I've ever contributed to. Is there some seriously embarrassing stuff in your back catalog? What do I do? Love, Anchor. Do you remember what Anchor went through on our podcast?
No.
He wanted to move to Antarctica.
Yeah.
There were a couple of others where he liked a girl. There may have been something involving a car. I'm seeing a car. I think he crashed a car.
I saw how he was dressed in the Patreon Discord the other day, and it was that talking about cars. That was a wreck.
Can we pull it up for the people?
No, we're not going to pull it up. We're not going to pull up a man's torso live on the podcast. That's not that type of show. That's for the bonus show. I don't know what he's been through.
What do you do?
Here's what you do is you download all of our episodes. You create AI voice models of both Patrick and I with 11 labs. You create fake versions of the podcast where you've written in new questions and you've had the AI versions of us answer those questions.
Yeah.
And they're all about like, what do I do? I've got too much money. How do I, I walk down the street and every woman drops her grocery bag and her baguette rolls out because she's so attracted to me. What do I
do? How do I deal with being able to bench 350?
Yeah.
What?
My shirts keep ripping at the bicep.
What do I do?
What do I do? Can a white boy have a good time?
By the way, fellas, this is somewhat tangential, but it is related. If you ever want easy points with your wife or girlfriend, borrow her phone, and then just leave it, look something up, and then leave it for her to find when she unlocks. But I did this to my wife the other day. I Googled how to deal with being married to the hottest woman alive. And she's absolutely giddy. So do that. It's easy points. It's great. This is free. This is like when people found out you could ChatGPT make something Studio Ghibli. You just make a Studio Ghibli image of you two. Easy.
Easy points.
Okay. I do.
You'll be fine. Just be brave. That's all.
Yeah. You got to go back. You got to let her listen to it all. And she'll be like, I'm so glad you didn't move to Antarctica. Mm-hmm. But if you did, I would keep you warm. Okay. From Billy Beers. How do I go about starting an adult group in my parish? What pitfalls should I avoid? I'm in a pretty small rural community, so finding people might be a challenge.
So, animals, I guess, is the path to go.
Get the pigs coming.
Get the hogs.
Get the hogs. If you're in a small rural community, just like I assume do a potluck or a square dance. Have a hoedown and get everyone over there.
Mm-hmm.
Say there's free hot dish and 7-layer dip and you're good.
We're all getting together when the sun goes down. We're roasting one of them hogs on top of the combine. Y'all better come down.
Now that I bring it up, I was at a party that had 7-layer dip, and I was sitting there. We were supposed to be talking about Introduction to the Devout Life. Or praying a rosary, and I was sitting there going, "What are the 7 layers?" I only got to 5. I couldn't think of all of them.
It's bean.
It's cheese? Yeah, refried beans, cheese, sour cream, sour guacamole, cream, salsa, guac.
Lettuce.
No, there was no lettuce. It was store bought. The lettuce would be soggy.
And
then I was five. I was like, maybe it was a 5-layer dip, and I was just thinking it's 7 layers.
Does the chip count as a layer?
The chip does not count as a layer. It wouldn't be then 7-layer dip. It would be 7-layer dip, some assembly required.
Would it be, is the grease maybe some of the?
Maybe the grease. But here, the only thing I can think of is that there's 2 layers of, some double, but I don't think that should count. Maybe pico de gallo, that's number 6.
Yeah.
Put in the comments what you think 7-layer dip is. This is good.
We're really
for
asking people to comment on.
This is the kind of inane stuff that people do love to tell people they know. Like, I know what 7-layer dip is.
That's true. It's like, hey, if you know about toads or
yeah, dip, someone's yelling. Someone has already yelled at me for the reptile thing in the comments, and even though someone else did, like they did it anyway, they doubled up. Yeah. Billy Beers, the pitfalls for starting a young adult group. Is making it co-ed too fast. You gotta get the boys together because the things that will attract the boys will not attract the girls and vice versa. The same is true for age groups. Sometimes parishes don't like it if you age group things, and sometimes old people will show up to your potluck anyway. So I recommend. I saw a young adult group in Pittsburgh. They said we're all gonna go body sledding. We're going to get trash bags and we're going to body sledding. This has naturally self-selected out. All the old people have naturally self-selected out at this point. Nobody over the age of 35 wants to do that. So you're good. But so that you got to make sure you have the right events, and you got to make sure they're for the right kind of people. Start a boys group first, and then you have a good solid group of dudes. The girls will show up, I promise. Eventually.
I think you should attach a rope to a shopping cart that you've stolen from the local Piggly Wiggly, and
from the local Tractor Supply or
Tractor Supply, and attach it to your truck, and then go down the back roads and see how quickly you can get someone to flip over the front of the truck inside of this shopping cart.
Is Piggly Wiggly still around?
Oh yeah, they're everywhere. They're in Jumanji.
It's owned by Publix.
I believe it. Patrick gave some good advice. I think what is a young adult group cannot be something that is assembled out of thin air with no prior relationships. There's got to be at least one person there that's friends with someone else, and they say, let's start or go to a young adult group.
Let's so I think, go bowling.
I think you start with who are your friends and what do you and your friends like to do? And if you know of other young adults in the area, because usually in rural areas, you kind of know who's around, right? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but start to ask around, figure out who else is there that's in your age group, and then just start talking to people. Hey, me and Ricky like to go down and do the shopping carts, Piggly Wiggly. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, for sure. I've seen you do that. What do you like to do on the weekends? Oh, we like to play darts at the thing. Oh, great. Let's all go play darts. And you do that for a while, and then you meet some more people. Oh, we like to go over here, do that. Okay, then you go do that. And then you just kind of start to develop a rhythm of people are together and doing things. And then eventually, once you're all doing things together, then you can start to say, hey, before darts, let's pray a rosary. I'll be there 30 minutes early if anyone wants to pray a rosary. Or we can meet at the church and walk over or drive over together, probably drive over together in the rural areas. So I think it's just developing a group of people that like to do different things together, not just one thing, but kind of a smorgasbord. Could be potlucks, could be activities, could be watching a movie, could be drinking on the porch, whatever. But then you just slowly start to add in, oh, we'll do evening prayer right before, or we'll do night prayer to end it, or because that's about all you really need to do for this type of thing anyway.
Yes.
So just let it be very natural. Don't try to force it.
Yeah, that's solid advice. Young adult groups are difficult because everyone's used to high school youth group and then Newman Center or campus ministry. Everything's organized for you. Everything's very formalized. Or just high school and college in general like that. All the extracurriculars are planned out and approved by the administration. And so then you become an adult and you're like, I don't know how to do things by myself. What do I do? So you just kind of watch Netflix and eat a frozen pizza on your couch. But you can just be the administration. You can be the overpaid administration of your own life.
You got to bring the hogs. Don't forget to bring the hogs.
Got to throw them in the shopping cart. And
What? You're putting the hogs in the shopping cart?
Put the hogs in the shopping cart. Isn't that how you buy hogs? You just throw them in the shopping cart.
You put the lime in the coconut. You put the hogs in the shopping cart.
What do you think a pig would do if you put it in a shopping cart?
Yeah, I can't make the noise that I want to make right now because I know. I'm in a public zone.
I'm sure you can make a really good pig noise.
I'm sure I can. Let's take a break to hear from our sponsor real quick. Patrick, can I be real for a second?
Sure.
A lot of guys are fighting silent battles, especially when it comes to pornography, lust, and even just feeling stuck. You don't know what to do. I think guys need to know that they're not broken. They're not alone, but they need a better strategy. They've been doing the wrong things. That's where the sponsor of this podcast comes in handy. The Freedom Group is sponsoring us. The Freedom Group is great because they are not just an accountability group. There's tons of accountability groups out there that don't work. They're not a white knuckle, you know, get through it, cold showers, all these things. This is not what the Freedom Group is. They are coaching men through a proven system that actually helps eliminate the cravings, eliminate the temptation forever.
And it's not just about getting rid of porn. It's about building a life that's worth living.
Yes.
You're not going to be thinking about it. You're not just detached from it. You're attached to something that's good. Emotional resilience, stronger faith, a deeper purpose, better relationships. It's freedom for something, not freedom from something. Their freedom groups help you get free from the craving of porn in a year or less, or they work with you completely free until you are, which Whoa. Is a huge deal. If porn isn't your problem, but you're stuck for something more, they have a Kingmakers community to help you build an operating system for your life and get the accountability and support you need to actually get there. Whether you're stuck in a cycle or just ready for a new level, go to thefreedomgroup.co. That's thefreedomgroup.co to get started. This could be the most important move you make this year. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring this episode of Bro Apostles.
Freedomgroup.co. And we're back.
Okay. Hey, y'all. A new listener. I'm so happy I found y'all. Love finding Catholic podcasts that are not too serious.
Let's go.
I was just listening to your newest episode, and I wanted to reach out regarding the new Oregon bishop. Oh, no. Oh, good. Okay. I just read ahead. He is from my diocese. He was my college chaplain, and I can attest that Father Tom is far from being a gay liberal priest. I like
Did we call him that? Did we
no,
say
I don't
that?
Think, No, we didn't.
Oh, that's good.
Very faithful, very reverent, and overall commendable priest. Unfortunately, our diocese had a history of very liberal leadership. Mm. We finally got a new bishop last year that seems very based, but I think that's where the liberal confusion came from with Father Tom's announcement. A lot of the information was pulled from our super liberal Catholic magazine. Anyway, keep doing what you're doing. Also, I cracked up at you guessing that Davenport is in Louisiana.
You got to say things with confidence. You got to let it rip, and most of the time you get away with it. But sometimes
that was less of a question and more of a review. But I appreciate that. I appreciate positive reviews in the advice show.
Do you think more people should listen to our show?
You should send this episode to a friend. Hey, do you send them to with this text? Hey, do you like throwing hogs in the shopping cart at the Rural King? You'll like Bro Apostles, a podcast for hogs. Welcome to the Hogcast.
Send it to my mother-in-law. That was someone who had a hog for a mother-in-law. That would not me. I like my mother-in-law.
Yeah,
I don't think she's a hog.
There you go.
I'll say that right now.
I'll say, hey, hot take. I love my mother-in-law
in front of God in my country. My mother-in-law ain't a hog.
Nothing
hog-like about that woman.
Hello, bros. I enjoyed the show. I'm a second-year college student in January. I met a girl. I really liked her. I ended up asking her on a date in March. I said, would you like to go on a date with me? And her response was, I would, but I'm talking to someone right now. Tell her to finish up the conversation and come on a date. Come on. Get out of here. This left me confused. I did not know if she liked me or if she was just being nice. A month later, her friend told me she was no longer talking to the guy, and she was taking a break from dating. She went home for the summer, and I won't see her again for another month. But I'd like to ask her out again. Do you think the girl actually like me or is just being nice? Is the summer long enough for her break from dating? Is re-asking a girl different from the first time? Or should I bring up what she said last time, etc.? Thank you. What do you think, Ethan?
Oh, I love that you trust us with these types of questions, but this is a classic case of you're asking the wrong person. We don't know. I mean, I can give you advice, but I don't know what's going on inside this girl's head. Is the summer long enough for her to be ready to date? I don't know. Ask her. Hey, remember when I asked you out and you said that you would go out with me, but you're talking to someone and now you're not talking to that person. You're taking a break from dating. When would you be ready to go on a date with me? Assume the close.
Hey, there you go. That's good. Fellas, if you're not cold calling girls, are you? Mm-hmm. You're doing it wrong.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at with this deal, and what's holding you back from a 10?
Would you like to go on a date on Monday or Tuesday at 8 o'clock? you always give two times.
two options.
Two options.
Would it be crazy for us to move forward with this? Would it just be absolutely crazy? Or, you know, is there anything that's holding you back?
Yeah. What do I have to do to get you in a date today? Can I just say that I think that her first excuse was stupid and dumb.
That she was talking to someone else?
There's no what even is talking? There's no that
sexting, usually.
Disgusting.
just being honest.
That's not anything. So like how does that stop you from, like, if you're just romantically texting someone and then you go on a date with someone else, I think that's fine.
I'm talking to I just went to the Coldplay concert with somebody and I'm busy. I'm on the
jungle. I thought we were going to make a current events joke about sexting.
Oh, what's going on with sexting in the Catholic world? Anything that I should know about?
I don't think anything important that happened.
All right.
I mean, are we a bad Catholic podcast because we're not talking about online apologist drama?
No, I think that makes us a good Catholic podcast, actually.
I agree.
Because who cares? Like, you know what I mean? I wish for the best for everyone involved.
I do want to say, though, my only opinion on this, he's being disciplined by his bishop because he's Eastern Catholic. Best argument to be Latin ever. If you did that, your bishop would never hear about it, would never care.
And if the bishop did hear about it, he'd probably he wouldn't do anything.
He wouldn't do anything anyway.
Yeah. He had to run it by the lawyer, and then, you know, it would get stuck in the thing, and it would get reduced to an email that he wouldn't read.
But the Eastern bishop found out about it, was like, "Oh, thank goodness, something to do today."
something in between my 3-4 hour liturgies that I have to do today. Break up the monotony. I guess I'll discipline this guy.
Anyway.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, you're right. It is pretty lame to say I'm talking to somebody. Maybe she doesn't like you. But the only way to know is to ask her out again. I think this is, you could just leave it and be scared, be a little scaredy cat, little fraidy, tiny scaredy cat. Or you could do something about it. You could give her, you could call her on the phone and say, "Hey, how about I drive to where you are and we go out, we get some ice cream."
I do think she doesn't like you. I will say that.
I think that too, yes.
Because I think that the talking thing is kind of a red flag, because if she liked you, she would have gone out with you. Because that other guy, this is what it is. She's texting this other guy who's not committing.
Yeah.
And you ask her out and she's like, "No, I want to see if this guy commits first." But she also doesn't string you along.
Right, that's true.
Great. This is me. When I was a young lad, I asked a girl to homecoming my freshman year. She said no because she was going. Someone else had already asked her. Then I found out later that she wasn't going with him anymore. And so I went up and I said, "Hey, would you like to go with me?" And she said, "Actually, I got asked by a third guy," and I broke off the date with this one guy. And I was like, "Oh, that's super scummy." And so me and that guy went to homecoming. We had a blast.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And then he crashed my wedding.
Pause.
It was fun.
You went to homecoming with a guy?
We went to homecoming, not together.
You literally said, "I went to homecoming with him instead."
Me and that guy went to homecoming instead. That's what I said.
Okay.
Right. We wore matching suits, but that's irrelevant.
I'm happy that you can show this side of yourself on the podcast.
It's very important. Listen, I'm very open about being a gay Catholic. Gay, even though I'm married. You see, I am part of the LGBT community, and
I've been called gay a lot this week.
Yeah, man, that's what happens when you. We've been Nick Fuentes fans have been mad at us on the internet for the past couple of days. And what happens when you make the frog guys mad, the frog people mad, is they call you gay, and then they post pictures of you, and then you do the same thing about their hero, and they go, "You're being so uncharitable.
So mean. How dare you calumniate this person?"
There's a really funny picture of Nick Fuentes sitting like a villa. He's sitting very homosexual, and you just respond with that picture, and they just melt down. They get so upset. So, and that's the thing. It's like if we had listeners that were that into our podcast,
I know. I want irrationally. Yes.
They could not bear to see us in compromising positions.
Yeah.
They would defend us. They would defend us to the death.
I think the problem is we're not cool enough for anybody to care that much about us.
But that's the thing. Nick Fuentes is objectively not a cool guy. He's very small and scrawny and has a weird voice. The only way that he's made it
describing me also.
No, you have a normal voice. That's your problem. If you had a weird voice, think about the guys who have skyrocketed to the heights of fame that have these kinds of audiences. Nick Fuentes, true. Ben Shapiro, okay? Michael Knowles, to a lesser extent, his voice is not as weird, but they're small, they're scrawny, and they've got funny voices.
I think what I would do is I would take the TLM and I would take part of the Novus Ordo, and I would combine the TLM with the Novus Ordo, and then I would make sure there were as many women as possible at the liturgy.
if Voice of Reason isn't a famous apologist anymore, does he still have to talk like that?
No, I think he gets. When I purchased Catholic Inc. for $5 million, I actually got his voice modulator included in the sale. So now he's walking around talking all normal.
I got called gay and part of Catholic Inc. this week, which I think
that's brutal. That's
famously not part of Catholic Inc. They will not have me.
They don't like us for some reason.
I can't get it.
I can't imagine why.
Anyway, back to our
what was the
back qu- to our so comedy
guy, advice. Oh, just give the girl a call.
I think you do have to ask her out. She probably doesn't like you. Just
ask her out,
aware.
But this will be good for you, because if we're wrong and she does like you, great. We're back on track. She might be thinking, why hasn't he called me? Da 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 da. And if she doesn't like you, great. You've wiped this off of your mind and you can move on to other greater pursuits. So I think either way, you got to just call her, rip the bandaid off and get it over with.
Yeah, man.
And the answer might be, you know, I like you. I'm looking forward to it, but I don't want to go on any dates until August. Okay, great. Can I call you when school starts back up? And can we try to get something scheduled? Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, great. Now at least you have a next step that you can look forward to, but then you just deal with that when you get there. You know, don't you have all these questions that don't matter. What you need to do is you need to call her. You need to talk to her.
Yes.
With your human voice.
And again, you're probably going to fail, but you will never know if you don't ask. So you have to ask.
Yeah.
I've gone into sales meetings that I thought I wasn't going to get, and I got them anyway.
Mm.
Dating is a lot like sales.
Hmm.
That's the theme of this podcast.
I think so. I mean, it genuinely is. It's just relationships and psychology and understanding what makes someone want to say yes to something. I think that's what got people who are more successful at dating know better how to get someone to say yes, not in a manipulative way, but like there are things that you can do that make it much higher probability that someone will say no to you. And a lot of you do those things.
The reason why people don't like comparing dating to sales is because everyone thinks of a slimy salesman, but think about the slimy serial dater that everyone knows and hates. It's the same thing.
The same guy.
You know, you're like, I'm just another number to you. You know, you don't care about me. You're just a pitch man. You know, it's the same thing. People want to feel special. Anyway. Okay. Next question. Next question. That's why they start podcasts. Question about helping a neighbor in need. Our neighbor is a single divorced mom living with her elderly and disabled mother. Chronically in and out of the hospital, our neighbor works nights and cares for mom by day. The mom has 3 torn ligaments in her shoulder, needs a complete replacement, but no one will do it because she's old and can barely walk, has a collapsed lung, etc. They're barely able to get out of the house. There's a rotating door of nurses and there's kids always crying. She's not sleeping enough during the day. I can make bread or cookies or whatever, but that doesn't feel helpful. I want to know how I can help. We've offered to go over and play with the mom to get some fresh air. They're not strapped for money necessarily, but our neighbor is just emotional and tired and has been going through the ringer here. What could I do for this poor woman?
I mean, this is the stuff that life is made of, you know? I don't know if we can parachute in and solve this for you. I think this is just a messy human thing, and you're just going to have to go next door and just say, hey, we'd like to visit for a while. And then it might be weird. And then, oh, hey, we brought cookies, and that might be weird. Hey, here's a gift card for you to go get. You're taking care of your mom. Go get a pedicure or whatever. You just got to try things and then just ask. Yeah. Have you to ask them? It's the same thing as the other person. It's like, hey, I see what you're going through. It's really hard. What would be most helpful for
us?
Yeah,
that's a good one. And you come over there with some offerings like, would you like us to watch the kids every other Friday so you can go out with your friends? Or every other Saturday morning so you can go out with your friends? She said in the question, I skipped over it, but she said, I could do meals, but I don't know her schedule. Don't want to wake her up, etc. Ask her. Offer meals.
I live next door. I got lots of food. I want to make it for you. When would be the best time?
Meal trains are so great. Everyone, we have a great community that does them every time someone gets pregnant and has a baby, which feels like every month at this point.
Yes, there's so many meal trains.
So many meal trains, and everyone does them. My wife's doing a meal train like every month. It's like, oh, I got to go run this over to across the bridge because we got family with baby. Great. Everyone loves meal trains, and meals are so nice because after a busy day of doing all of this crap, you're like, oh, now I have to figure out how to eat. And it's the worst. It's the worst. Having a meal that's just a big old baked ziti pan that's in the fridge, you're like, oh, we're going to live off of this.
Something hot
that you just stick in the oven. Oh, it's so nice. And she's next door.
Dude, one time someone brought like a meatloaf with like mashed potatoes. It was so good. I think it's because I slept in like 2 days, but then I was eating the meatloaf and it felt like for a minute that I was floating.
Transcendent meatloaf.
It was so good.
Meal trains are also great because it's like set up with Grubhub, so you can just send Grubhub gift cards. You can send $50 so they can get a $20 burrito.
She grub on my hub till I. Anyway, I think you just got to go ask. You got to it feels awkward because you want to seem like the type of person that just knows intuitively what to do because you have this vision in your mind of like the perfectly like intuitive and emotionally in touch person. But like you're not that. Nobody is. The easiest thing to do is just to go over next door and say, "Hey, sorry to interrupt. I've noticed this, this, and this. I've got some extra time on my hands. I'd love to help. What can I do for you?"
Better would be, "I want to do something for you.
Would you rather X or C?
That way you limit the choices, because when you ask someone, it's like when you go to your boss and say, "What should I be doing right now?" It's like, I have a million things to do. And now maybe a better, I don't know.
You just go to your wife and she's like, "Do you want to go to Culver's or do you want to go to Freddy's?"
It's like you go ask, when you go up to a busy person and ask them, "What can I do?" They're like, "I have this whole list of things. You just added another thing to my to-do list. And now I have to give you." And so you'll take something off my to-do list, but only if you add deciding what this person can do. You know, instead, you just say, "I'm going to do this or this. What do you want? Would you prefer meals or would you prefer me watching the kids? I can also do both. Like, I'm fine doing both.
Looks like your porch needs some mud jacking. I can get my guys out here. If I can get my guys, I don't know. If I can get them out here, we could jack that up for you. Just a couple $1,000. I mean, we just helped out Tony over there across the street. We helped out Barbara. She's over there.
Hey, I was looking at on my iPad here, it's showing your energy usage. We could probably do that if we finance solar panels and put them on your house. Would you like?
Here's what I could do for you. I can either make you a casserole, or do you have spiders, by the way? Because I know that Alice next door, she's had spiders, and we could get that taken care of for you. No problem.
Yeah, four doors down. You serve one client, you'll get eight. It's a great way to do it.
I think you should. Dude, I wish.
I wish I was in some days. I wish I was in trades, man. Trades. All my trades friends, they clean up. They do so much business.
Janitorial services.
And the ones that aren't are only not doing business because they're not doing what those other guys are doing. Like, I have a friend who does moving, and he's like, "I'll bring you 20 boxes for free." It's great. And he drops them off and he closes like 90% of those because he's like, "Do you also want me to move stuff for you?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure." And then he goes next door. He's like, "Hey, you moving?" He just goes through the neighborhood where there's signs outside. And he goes like, "Hey, you guys moving soon? I have 20 free boxes. You want them?" it's so smart. But no, I sell magazines for now.
I think you should marry the box guy, because that's probably the 14th time you've told me about his lead generation skills.
Have I brought it up on the podcast, though?
I think so. Comment below if Patrick's talked about the box guy before on the podcast.
It's so smart, and no one else does it. I talked about it yesterday. I was like, "Why has no one stolen your thing?" He's like, "They just don't want to do it. I don't know why they don't want to do it. It's so smart."
Can we go hand out USB sticks? Like, "Hey, I noticed you have ears. There's 20 free podcasts."
At stoplights, we just say, "You're not listening to anything. I noticed you're not laughing. Would you like some free comedy?"
Hey, you like to chuckle?
You like to crack up?
Hey, you like to guffaw every now and then?
You should check out this podcast. All right. Man, we've answered a lot of questions.
I mean, these have been really short. I think we've got time for maybe one or two more before we got to go to the bonus podcast. Because if I don't get home soon, I think my head will end up on a pike.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There's one person who wants to push back on your opinions on dating fast, but I think I want to save that.
Let's save it for later.
Because we've done dating fast too much.
Yeah, we have. We can also, if that's all the questions, we just end the podcast. I mean, it's our show. We can do whatever we want.
We have too many good Catholics writing in. I think it's time we go to the darkest corner of the internet and go to reddit.com/advice.
Oh, wow. Just the general
one.
Goodness.
my ex wants to get back together after cheating. My girlfriend gave me chlamydia. My mom thinks I should dump my boyfriend. This one seems promising.
All right.
Oh, it's very long. I know what you're thinking. Listen to your mom. She's always right. But here's my situation. One second. I'm going to put this into ChatGPT so it's shorter.
I can't handle it with you. Okay. You in the ChatGPT. Do what you have to do.
Vamp.
I've got one on Catholic dating. Does the Lord want some of us to be miserable and alone? 36 male. Yes. Answer daily double. Yes.
Okay. A 23-year-old woman has been dating a sweet and driven 28-year-old man for 6 months. While he treats her well and says he wants a future together, he only makes minimal time for her. Once a week, they go to low-effort hangouts. He avoids phone calls, dislikes spending money on dates, and doesn't share her active lifestyle. Though she believes he genuinely loves her and is doing his best, his mom is concerned about the emotional distance and its long-term sustainability. The woman is torn between her love for him and the fear that his limited effort will leave her feeling isolated in the future. Whether love is love enough, and what should I compromise on? What do you think, Ethan? Should you compromise for someone you love? She's 23 and he's 28.
No, I think you should. I don't think you should ever sacrifice your own wants for someone else.
Ever?
Yeah.
I think you should. I think you should go podcast, even though your wife has two screaming kids at home. My wife.
Only one. I put the baby down. It's the 2-year old. It's the 2-year old that's the problem. Because the problem is, it actually has nothing to do with me or Emma. The problem is Uncle Ryan. Uncle Ryan shows up. Editor, podcast editor Ryan comes at 6 o'clock. Right at dinner time, we eat
riles
dinner.
The kids up.
We riles the kids up. They're all excited to play with him after dinner. Oh no, it's 6:45. I got a podcast at 7:30. We also have to do a bath. So I got to go upstairs right after dinner, take the bath, put him in his jammies. Time to go to bed. I want to play with Uncle Ryan. Try to put him to bed. I want to play with Uncle Ryan. And so I got, now he's playing Candyland. And then you got to play Candyland for...
We've been on a Candyland kick at our
who
house.
Who knows how long. And so they could still be stuck.
It's a pretty quick game.
Well, when you play with a 2-year-old, you get stuck in Peppermint Pass quite a bit. I will say.
Lee always wants to take the shortcuts, even if it means he goes backwards. He
does. They do like that.
The issue really comes down to when my parents come into town. When they visit, my boyfriend comes to dinner with us something and we'll have a great time. But afterwards, without fail, my mom will say that she has concerns. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
If your parents, is it just the mom that's saying she has concerns, or is it the mother-in-law as well?
It's just the mom.
Just the mom. I mean, your mom loves you and she has your best interests at heart, unless she's a narcissist. So, I would take that with some real weight.
The bulk of his time is spent working two jobs and attending college online. Man, this guy sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds like
this
he's working.
This guy sounds great.
He sounds like that Justin Bieber clip. He goes, oh, hey, I'm just working hard to please you. And then it's like, if you see him typing on the computer and then there's an edit of him like drawing an anime picture, it's very funny.
All right, final question. My girlfriend of 6 months just tested positive for chlamydia. I'm getting tested now. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that one.
I don't think you should compromise. I think you should. I think you should compromise. I don't know. I don't know enough about the situation. But if you love him and you care about him and it's temporary, then just deal with it until it's over. I think people make too much about short term arrangements. Because people don't think long term. It's like if you're dating forever and there's no promise of marriage, like moving in together and kids, there's nothing to look forward to. And so it's like, is this how it's always going to be? So this is why dating, perpetual dating is a problem. It's because people get stuck in things like this and break up when they probably should just get engaged.
Yeah, they should probably just get engaged, get married. Yeah. Throw some spice into your life. Have a child. You'll never be bored.
Yeah. Have a kid to fix your relationship. Do it now.
Always works. Always works. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Bro Apostles. We'd like to thank our sponsor,
The Freedom Group.
The Freedom Group, for sponsoring this episode. If you like this episode, like, subscribe, and share it with a friend. If you really like the episode and want more, go to patreon.com/broapostles and you'll get an extra bonus podcast for $10 a month for free for $10 a month.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.